Hello folks, thanks for joining me. It's Pete from the Call of Nature podcast. Just me today because the other guys are on a break. We're between seasons and this is a special mini bonus episode. We were planning to release a bonus episode anyway around this time, but today's one seems especially appropriate after we got some, shall we say, disappointing news from the government yesterday that the badger cull here in the UK is to be extended. And the perplexing news that's going to include badgers which have already been vaccinated against TB. So they're not going with the science, I would say. And of course, you'll remember the views and opinions expressed in the Call of Nature are those of whoever expressed them. So me in this case, they don't reflect the views of any other agencies or organisations. But you can probably guess what we all think of the badger cull as nature guys and nature fans. Yeah. On a brighter note, not everybody wants to hurt badgers, and that includes an excellent guy that we interviewed very recently called Alex Collins. We'll tell you all about him in the intro, but Alex is a young nature documentary and filmmaker with the goal of helping wildlife. So I think that's something we can all get on board with. So let's have a listen. Hi, Alex.
Hello.
Hi, Alex. It's Chris. How are you doing?
Hi, good to speak to you.
Well, it's great to have Alex along. Alex is a biology student who makes wildlife and conservation videos to aimed at engaging people on those subjects, which is awesome because that's the sort of thing that we like. You can find Alex on Twitter and Insta at AlexCollinsWAC. And you've also got a YouTube channel that we're going to chat to you today about, haven't you, Alex? How do people find that?
It's likewise, it's Alex Collins, just Alex Collins. But as I told you earlier, I'm not the most popular Alex Collins on YouTube, unfortunately.
Not yet.
Not yet, yeah, hopefully. So if you just type in Alex Collins Wildlife, then that should come up.
Well, that sounds great. Maybe you could tell us a bit more about your videos, Alex.
Yeah, sure. So I've always been very interested in wildlife, I think mainly because I've been lucky enough to grow up surrounded by it, and I've had parents who shared that interest and probably passed a lot of it on to me. One thing that a lot of people don't seem to know, and that I've only really discovered recently, is that Britain is one of the most biodiversity-deprived countries in the world. There's a lot that we need to kind of tell the general public about what people can do on an individual level to help conserve our wildlife. So when I've been watching, over the course of my life, wildlife documentaries, they're all fantastic, and they really spark a good interest in wildlife for people. And recently they have, to be fair, they've started telling us that wildlife is under threat, but not enough in my opinion. They haven't been telling us what people can do individually to help the wildlife. So that is kind of where I'm trying to make my mark, if you will, and give people something a bit more tangible, so what they can go away and do themselves to help the wildlife on their doorstep.
That's great. And I like it that your videos are, some of them are in your back garden, and it's about wildlife that people can go out and see quite easily, rather than, you know, the more exotic things on the other side of the world. But it's equally engaging. You do a great job.
Thanks. Yeah, one thing I'm trying to kind of put out there is that when you talk about endangered species, the first thing most people, probably me, only a short while ago, would think of is, you know, a jaguar in South America, or maybe lions in Africa, things like that. But actually, there's a lot of endangered species in Britain too. And some of them, well, all of them are fascinating, and a lot closer than we might expect most of the time. So I think just learning about that for myself in particular, and just knowing that these things are around us and that they need protection, has been something that's, at least it's really engaged me and made me want to make more of a difference. So hopefully that will rub off on some people who watch my videos.
Yeah, I think it will, having watched them, mate. So I've really been enjoying them. I love the one on bats, the natterjack toads. I really enjoyed the one about why saving rare species is a good thing to do. They're mostly 5, 6, 7 minutes long, aren't they? How long does it take you to make one of those videos?
Longer than 5 or 6 minutes. It's got shorter, definitely, because my editing has become a bit quicker. And I don't take as long to film either, but it's still a good couple of hours. So it used to take me a couple of days, and now I can probably do them in one day. But I will try and film and edit on separate days. And I'm trying to do them outside now as well. So at the moment, I'm actually just waiting for the weather to chill out a bit and stop raining up north, because I've not been able to get outside and film the next one. So it is a bit of a waiting game sometimes. But yeah, probably half a day, on average.
Well, that's not as long as I thought. They're really professional, and I love
Thanks.
them, as I've told you.
Thanks.
So, well, you're welcome. The episode that I'm particularly keen to talk to you about is the one about badgers.
Yes.
So you're lucky; you've got a set outside, haven't you? And you obviously know how to act around them. But I found a badger set recently when I was out walking with my little boy on a nature walk. And what I was thinking was, when the evenings draw in, it might be nice to go up there, sit quietly somewhere, and try and spot them. And I know people will chuck peanuts around, won't they, and try and get them eating. But then when I watched your video, you made the point about not disturbing these animals. So what do you think? Do you think it's a good idea for me to go do that, or would you caution against it?
I think I'd definitely encourage badger watching to an extent. Obviously, we don't want everyone going and standing around the badger set at the same time, but it can be brilliant, especially with kids, as you're saying, to spark that interest. And if you know what you're doing, I'm sure Dr. Gareth would probably have the best advice on this, but I'll give you my opinion. I think if you know what you're doing, then you should be okay. So the first step, as you've done, is look for or find an active set, and you can find that by looking for the. Often there's a pile of kind of dirt outside one of the main holes, a big pile of dirt that they've all kicked out. The paths around the set will be really well worn, but that will tell you that it's active. And you might even come across some of the latrines, which I mentioned in my video, which are these small holes that the badgers dig in the ground, and then they then defecate into them. Their sort of territorial scent boundary. So when you actually find a set and you're interested in going to see it, you still have to be pretty keen because you're going to have to either get up very early in the morning or go quite late in the evening. So having put the trail cameras around the set at my house, I've found that pretty consistently the badgers go out of the set at about, well, between 9 and 11 at night, and they'll get in usually at about 4:45 in the morning. And the morning is going to be the clearest time to see them compared to the night time. So you want to get up quite early. But in terms of getting close, you do want to keep your distance a bit because badgers rely very strongly on smell. So that could put them off coming out. So for a start, you wouldn't see them, and secondly, you'd probably disturb them. I have noticed when I've laid out my trail cameras outside one of the holes, the badgers actually haven't appeared from that hole for a couple of days, and that might, I don't know exactly, but that might be because I've been there. Who knows? But I'd say definitely stay at least 10 meters away, I would say. I think that's what I've read that online as well. Because before I went out and filmed the video, I of course, like yourself, wanted to make sure I'm not disturbing them at all. One brilliant thing that my dad actually told me is that badgers aren't very receptive to red light. It's either they aren't very receptive to it or they can't see it at all. I'm not sure. Again, I think Dr. Gareth might know that bit better than me. But my dad, when he was younger, he lived in the countryside too, and he saw one of the really early naturalists on TV build this setup out of a tripod, a headlight from a car, and he put some thin plastic over the headlight. And he shone that on the set. And my dad did that a couple of times when he was younger. And he had a brilliant view of the set. It completely lit this badger set up. And as far as he was aware, the badgers just didn't know he was there. And he could watch them from a respectable distance. And they just got on with their daily activities. So that's one interesting way to do it if you have those things available to you. Another thing is there's a guy on YouTube called James Miller. I think he's just a bit younger than me, and he made a video where he went out badger watching, and he said that he learned that badgers never look up, and I found that really interesting because he then proceeded to set a hammock up above the badger set, and he had a perfect view of them from there, and likewise they had no clue that he was anywhere near them.
Wow.
Again, he was quite near, so the thing with that is he must have been quiet. You've got to be quiet. And he probably didn't smell of anything that strong. So lay off on your strong scents, your deodorants and stuff, because again, they'll probably smell you before they can see you. So they're my best tips for now. You can also, as we said before, put some peanuts out. I don't really know about the effectiveness of that. But one thing I'm going to be doing, I think next week, is I'm going to be volunteering with the Badger Trust up in Whaley Bridge in Cheshire, where I live. I think Whaley Bridge is Derbyshire, actually, sorry. But we're going to go out and help to trap the badgers so they can then be vaccinated for TB. And I'm going to learn about quite a few different techniques for getting them out in a safe and ethical way. And I think they did mention using peanuts to do that. So it can be quite simple sometimes, and just make sure that you're keeping your distance and not doing anything obvious that will disturb them.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds like a lot of fun. I remember I worked on the nature reserve for a little while, and they used to use peanut butter.
Okay, yeah.
Smeared on sticks and stuff like that, because they said the badgers went mad for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, well, good luck with that. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Thanks, yeah.
Have you got any more plans for other videos lined up? What would be your dream species to video in the UK, Alex?
Well, I do have a lot of plans. My dream species in the UK, to see in person, it would have to be one of the mustelids, so probably a stoat or a pine martin, because they're just so difficult to see these days. Of course, the pine martins are making a really encouraging comeback, but I think every time I've asked someone how to spot a stoat, how to spot a pine martin without a trail camera, it's just luck, some more luck and some more luck. That's all you can really rely on. And yeah, I think there are some nearby me, some stoats in the forest nearby. So it would be an absolute dream to see them, and to film them, that would be another level, really. Yeah. In terms of future videos, I've got quite a lot lined up. There is one I'm going to be doing one documenting the Pine Martin Recovery Project. So that kind of links in with the success that they've had recently. And yeah, amongst many other ideas.
Great. Well, we look forward to seeing those and exploring your back catalogue, which is what I'm going to do now. Thanks very much for joining us, mate.
Yeah, thank you, Alex. That was great.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. And I wish you best of luck with your badger watching.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks again for joining us, Alex. We loved speaking with you. We love the work that you're doing. And just to update everyone, Alex has been volunteering with those badgers in Derbyshire. Sadly, that is an area in which those now vaccinated badgers could end up getting shot anyway, which is, like I said earlier, disappointing, shall we say. Yeah, so let's hope that doesn't happen to them. And I can also update you, tell you Gareth does agree that depending on the layout, 10 metres is a good distance to be from a badger set if you're badger spotting. And I can also tell you that the Badger Trust say that some people do recommend red light, just like Alex talked about. Well, there it is, folks. That's our first ever mini bonus episode. Thank you, Alex, for making it such an enjoyable one. And we'll be back with another before we get on with season 2 of The Call of Nature. Thanks for listening.